Beginning at verse 1 of Psalm 119. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do not do iniquity. They walk in his ways. You've commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. All right, we'll just do that. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your standards. Then I will not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with my uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgment. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. My whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And then a few verses from Psalm 139. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I wake, I am still with you. And let's pray. Father, we give you thanks and praise for the love of the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your care. Thank you, God, for this wonderful ministry that you've given to us to share God's word today. I just pray, God, that you would tune our hearts to hear from your spirit. We bless you. We praise you. In Christ's name, amen. Talking about intimacy, just a few synonyms or definitions of intimacy. Close familiarity or friendship, togetherness, affinity, warmth, attachment, affection, confidence. Well, that sounds like pretty good words, but let's look at them from a personal point of view. When we look at God's word, do we have those thoughts or synonyms in our mind? Do we have a close familiarity with God's word? Do we read God's word on a daily basis? Does it give us warmth? Does it give it protection? Is there an attachment to affection or confidence in God's word? And that's what we want to talk about today. So as we look at the theme today of intimacy with God's word, we want to look at five different areas. We want to look at the provision of God's word. How did we get God's word? I'm in a little trouble today. There we go. The person of God's word, Jesus Christ, we'll touch on that. The practice of God's word, and we'll look at Jesus Christ practicing God's word. And the power of God's word, we talked a little bit about that today. And then the proclamation of God's word. The question we can ask here in terms of the provision of God's word, well, how did we get God's word? Scripture is very clear. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 20 and 21, states, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So as we look at God's word and ask the question, how do we know this is true? God's word speaks for itself and says, I sent it. God sent it. The word of God is clear. The Holy Spirit inspired authors to the Bible to write down what God wanted people to know about him. The people he created. And in particular, prophecy in the life and ministry concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have that. You know, Jeremy and others have talked about the word of God coming, and I won't spend time repeating that. But just a reminder a little bit from 2 Peter 1, that holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Then we want to look at the person of Jesus Christ. It's interesting that as we look at the Old Testament, there are many, many passages that remind us of who Christ is, and then we compare Scripture with Scripture. I like that passage from Proverbs chapter 30, and Agar is sharing about God, and he becomes very, very specific when he talks about Jesus Christ. And he asks the question, who is ascended into heaven or descended? Already you begin to get a little bit of a picture who ascended into heaven and who descended. Who has gathered the winds in his fists? Who's bound the waters in a garment? Who established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name, if you can tell? What is his name and what is his son's name, if you can tell? 1,000 years before Jesus was on the earth, Agar wrote about his son. And what is his son's name? Well, back there, Agar didn't know that he had a son. He just wrote it down. But when we compare Scripture with Scripture, we know very, very clearly that the Word of God is saying his son is the Lord Jesus. And we get to know him in a personal way as we say, Lord Jesus, come into our heart and into our life. Make me into the person you want me to be. So here's Agar writing these words of wisdom way down, way, way back, 1,000 years before it even happened. And of course, then we move forward to the New Testament. We know this passage as well. So we look at Paul. I have to have some of my tech guys look after some of this. Paul's panoramic overview of the Lord Jesus Christ. Agar says, what is his name and what is his son's name? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And then Paul begins at eternity past through the time of Jesus and right up until the time of eternity, where he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him a form of a servant, and was made in likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Talks about every knee will bow before Jesus. In God's word, and we're going to be looking at it in just a few minutes, talks about this book is going to judge us. There's going to be a day, ladies and gentlemen, young people, that this book is going to be open, and this is one of the things that God is going to use to judge us. Every knee will bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Of course, you remember from quizzing we had a little bit, they made it easy for us. They gave us John chapter 1, and so I knew a few verses out of there. The person of the Word, Jesus Christ, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus Christ was called the Word. So you put this Word and the Word Jesus together, and that's what John was talking about. Going down to verse 10, it says, he was in the world. Jesus was in the world, and the world knew him not. Came on his own, the Jewish people, and they rejected him. They knew him not. They would not accept him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power, the authority, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And we recognize very, very clearly there was a time in our lives, in my life in particular, where I invited Jesus Christ to come into my heart and into my life, to change me forever. Goes on to talk about who Jesus was. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of God. And so the writer John is talking about seeing Jesus and Jesus who dwelt among us. The person of the Word, Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Has there been a time in your life that you invited him to come into your life to change you forever? And then as we're talking about the Word today, maybe this is going to be a challenge for you as well. Maybe this book isn't open very much in your home. Maybe you claim to be a Christian, but you don't read this very often. It sits on your shelf. Perhaps your prayer time is on the way to work. Perhaps your Bible study is a podcast that you're listening as you move around the house or on your way to work. God calls us as his children to be in his Word. And maybe today you need to recommit your life to Christ. Perhaps you need to know Jesus as personal Savior. And maybe today you need to come forward and say, God, I've really been messing up. I haven't been reading your Word. I have no desire to read your Word. I've lost my first love, as Jesus challenges the Ephesian church in Revelation 2. And perhaps you need to say, God, today I'm going to do something different. I'm going to take a new start. Today I'm going to say, God, I want to know Jesus of the Word. And God, I want to get back to reading like I used to, not just leave it on the shelf. At the end of the service, you can just come. Might want to sit on the steps here, sit over there. Maybe if you have trouble with mobility, you can just sit where you are and bow your head. People won't bother you when you're bowing your head and say, God, today I want to commit myself to the Word of God. I want to have intimacy with God's Word. I haven't had it for a long, long time. I waste a lot of time and I'm not in the Word. The person of the Word is Jesus Christ. One day Jesus, as we bow before him, he'll say, what did you do with my word? And what did you do with me? Very, very significant. And let me encourage you to recommit your life to Christ, Christian, because this is very, very important. I can't go through a day without being in God's word. And I encourage you, if you've been away from God's word, to get back into it. Today's a good time to start when you have friends around you who will pray along with you. The person of God's word. And then we have the practice of God's word. Jesus used God's word to defeat Satan. I'll say this now and I'll say it again. If Jesus Christ, the Son of God, used God's word to defeat Satan, what do you think we should use? If we're not in God's word, we're never going to have the strength or power to overcome the enemy. Dear ones, everyone is going to have a struggle in their life. In fact, Jesus mentioned it very, very clearly in John 16, 33. He said, in me you will have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. As Lauren was sharing, some friends and loved ones have passed away. All of us are going to go through some trials and testings and temptations. It's very, very important for us to be solid in God's word. Dear ones, if you're not, today's the day to come back where you belong. Go through that passage from, and you know it well, but we want to read it together or share it together. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written. Now get that in your mind, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you, and their glory. For this has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. Over the years, I've worked with a lot of individuals who've had trouble with sleeping, with fear, with depression. Now, I always bring them back to God's Word because that's where the power is. When I don't sleep at night, and it's not very rarely, I don't sleep for very long because I just begin to quote Scripture and then I fall asleep. But dear ones, if you don't know what Scripture says, you're going to have a hard time using it to fall asleep or to overcome the enemy. Now let's just get this picture just here for a moment. Jesus Christ, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. He was the one that created everything. He could have looked at Satan, the fallen angel, and said, what are you doing here? Why are you wasting your time with me? I created you. I can snuff you out in a second. But he didn't do that. What did he do? He used the word, he used the word, he used the word, and he said, leave. And if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, used the word of God, what should we use? We need to use the word of God. And dear ones, if you don't have a daily practice in your word, in God's word, you need to get back to it. So if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, used the word of God to defeat the enemy, what should we use? I just want to put a caution here just for a moment. Every once in a while, you might get someone that thinks they're maybe kind of smart, whether it's on TV or radio or in person, and start making fun of Satan and letting Satan know that he's under their feet and they can control him, and on and on and on. Dear ones, don't ever, ever do that. You use the word of God, you use the blood of Christ, you use the name of Jesus Christ to defeat the enemy. It saddens me when I hear somebody kind of being smart aleck that Satan can be put in their place, his place, by them. Don't do that. Use God's word. That's what Jesus used. You use it. If you hear that on the television, you turn that person off because that person is going to fall. Get smart with Satan, you'll be defeated. Don't play with him. Do what Jesus did. Use the power of the word of God. That's how he's defeated. In the seminary, I teach spiritual warfare in the Christian. We talk about oppression of the enemy. We talk about invasion of the enemy and demonology and how people can be rescued from demons within. And I always make sure that we talk about the blood of Jesus, the word of Jesus. And we always make sure that Jesus with his power is in that session because we would get hurt. And so we don't fool around, and that's why I put caution there. We don't get smart with Satan. We do what the little girl said, and you've probably heard me say this before. Sunday school teacher asked to her little Sunday school group of kids, what do you do when Satan comes knocking at your door? The little girl said, that's easy. I send Jesus to answer it. So you send Jesus to answer it. That's really the really key. So Jesus taught us the next lesson, of course, the power of the word of God, as we've looked at that passage there. So intimacy with God's word, the power of God's word. Through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. God said, let there be light, and there's light. As we go through the creation story, what a beautiful, beautiful picture of the word of God activated by Almighty God. The word of God is powerful. It affects every area of our life. I would encourage you to put that into your mind and even memorize it. The word of God is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even dividing asunder soul, spirit, joints, and marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is any creature that is not manifest in eyesight, but all things are naked and open on the eyes of the one with whom we have to do. And who is that? That's the Lord Jesus, the great high priest. And he is the one that is there to help us. The word of God ministers to every area of our life. And I'm sure I've told you this story, but it bears repeating. As Pastor Ernest would tell me, he'd say, I probably told you this before, but Bruce, you're so old, you forget these things anyway. So he's safe to tell me again. Well, I can do the same thing. I was teaching at university in educational psychology, and a man by the name of Ab and I shared an office up at the university, and as we were talking back and forth, we were finding out that, you know, a little bit about him. He was from Simon Fraser University. He was working on his PhD, and he said, Bruce, what do you do? You're a sessional lecturer here, and so you're not here all the time, so what do you do? And I said, I direct and counsel at Christian Counseling Services. And he said, Christian. And some of you probably heard someone say that to you, Christian. And so kind of made fun of Christianity and belittling and so on, the Bible. And so God, the Holy Spirit, just shared with me very clearly. And so I asked him this question. I said, Ab, I'm sure you're a good counselor, because that was what his degree is, and mine as well. I'm sure you're a good counselor. I'm sure you've helped a lot of people. But let me ask you a question, Ab. When people have come into your counseling office, what do you do with people who come in with guilt? With guilt. And he actually dropped his head, and he said, I can't. I said, Ab, that's the difference between secular counseling and Christian counseling. When you put God's word first, and you can see God change their heart and in their life. Just an opportunity to share. So it is powerful. It changes people's lives. The word of God is powerful. It helps us to resist sin, and it keeps us from sin. That passes in 1 Peter 5. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. We need to humble ourselves first. God, I really don't need you. I can make it on my own. Over time, every once in a while, a person would come in to see me for counseling, and they wanted to do it on their own, but they wanted me to help them. And I said, well, you've already tried it for years and it doesn't work. You need to try something that works, and his name is Jesus Christ. But you need to humble yourself, and then he can help you. Casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. And it says, whom resists steadfast in the faith. Are there times that you get bombarded in your mind by thoughts, by scary things, by put-downs? That's the fiery darts of the wicked. And it says very, very clearly that we can deal with that. God's word helps us, that we can resist the enemy. We looked at that passage from 119, and verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And getting back to the challenge I made earlier, are you in God's word on a daily basis? Is today the day you need to recommit your life? Rededicate your life to getting back into God's word. Let me encourage you. Times are coming where it's not going to be easy for you. And you might as well get prepared in God's word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Dear ones, when you have God's word in your heart, the Holy Spirit can use that to remind you to back off, stay away from that sin. Psalmist says, order my steps in the word and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Where am I? Where's my... I don't... Hang on. Hang on. There we go. Oh, there's my Friday. There's my man Friday here. Thank you, Jeremy. I'm kind of reminded of what people say that Satan tries to get into the choir and he tries to get into PowerPoint. So, so bear with me. All right. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. And Jesus said in John 15:3, he says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. How do we resist sin and overcome sin? By God's word. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And then James 1, even at verse 12, it says, blessed is the one who endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. And how do we do that? By coming and using God's word. And so we need to humble ourselves. We don't like to humble ourselves. We don't like to have God tell us what to do. I'm no different than you. In working with individuals, they will tell me that. I don't want to repent. I don't want God to tell me what to do. I want to be my own boss. And it's okay until they get to the place where they're laying in palliative care and no hope without Jesus Christ. And God is gracious many, many times before they pass from this life into the next. He gives them time to repent and to say yes to Jesus Christ. I'm so very, very thankful that over the years I've had that opportunity. And men that didn't need God all their life, in the last hour or two, they needed God because they were facing something that they could never face on their own. So that's why I'm encouraging you to repent. And that's what it's going to be called. That's what it's called. Humble yourselves to God and give God the temptation. And you've heard me say this often. For all of us, there are two or three temptations that we struggle with in our own life. Not the same as your next door neighbor. Not the same as a fellow Christian, but it's something that the enemy uses to pull you down. And that's why the word of God is so powerful. And then we can resist Satan with that. The word of God is powerful. It will be used to judge all humans will ever live. All of us here, this book will be open. Not necessarily the NIV or the Greek translation or one other translation, but it'll be very, very clear. And as we look at this passage from Revelation 20, verse 12, God speaking, and I saw the dead, or John speaking, inspired by the Spirit of God, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Jesus was very, very clear in Matthew 12 when he was talking about the words we say, and we need to be careful because every idle word that we say will be brought into judgment. So it's very, very important to keep short accounts with God. Dear ones, don't go to bed at night without dealing with sin. If you're struggling in your marriage, don't go to bed at night until you deal with that. Pray and get that made right. Because you might see eternity before you see the morning. That's not a threat, that's reality, because I've worked with so many people in these situations. Proclamation of the word. Dear ones, as Christians, this is our ministry. This is our duty. This is our calling. This is our responsibility. There's someone around you that does not know Christ. It's our responsibility. It's our duty. It's our mandate to pray for them and ask God to give you an opportunity to share with them about Jesus Christ. Perhaps you're here today and you've never been doing that. Maybe you've never done that. But if you're a Christian, Christians read God's word. Christians pray. Christians share with others. It's very, very important. And maybe today you need to say, God, I need to come, I need to repent. I couldn't care less about my next door neighbor. If he goes to hell or she goes to hell, it's really not important to me. God, if you want them saved, you better do something about it. If you have that attitude, it's going to be very, very destructive in your life. So you need to say, God, I repent of that. I want to see my neighbors come to Christ. I want to see my friends come to Christ. I want to see my fellow university students come to Christ. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So God has given this ministry to reach out and touch people. As I said earlier, maybe there's some things you need to do today. I would encourage you, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, don't leave the building until you spend some time with God and make it right. So just a conclusion, reminder, we need to be reading the Word of God. We need to hear the Word. We need to study the Word. We need to meditate in the Word, memorize God's Word, and then we need to share the Word with others. Revelation 1:3, it talks about that. Blessed is the one that reads, who hears and obey my word. And so may we do that. From Colossians, the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in the hearts of the Lord. As I pray, I'm just going to lead you in a prayer of recommitment. And perhaps you're here and you don't know Jesus. You can say, Jesus, come into my heart today. Maybe you need to say, God, I need to repent. I need to humble myself. What's been talked about today is something I need to do. I need to deal with this. So in your own heart, as I pray, you just think about what God is saying to you. And then you do something about it. Father, we just thank you and praise you for your word. Lord, perhaps there's some here today that needs to say, Lord, I've not been attentive to your word. I've set it aside. I need to come back and read your word. I ask you to forgive me. I repent of my sin. And ask you, God, that you give me that blazing desire for your word once again. I recommit my life to Jesus Christ, and I recommit my life to God's word today. And as there's someone here that needs to respond to Christ, that they would pray, Lord Jesus, I need you. I open my heart to you and ask you to come into my heart. Forgive me of all my sin. I invite you to come in, and thank you for coming into my life. Lord, I just pray that you would seal the decisions that you made, that people made today by your Holy Spirit. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.